Hello, Grandview. My name is Jake. I'm the youth pastor, and for today, the host of this podcast. I hope you all had a happy new year. The end of 2020 is truly a cause for much celebration. For this week's Sunday offering, we're going to spend some time reflecting on a few of the classic Christmas carols. The hope is that we can find new ways of connecting to these carols and scripture that inspired them. To open and close this podcast, we're turning to the lectionary for some more formal and somewhat meaty prayers. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, your birth at Bethlehem draws us to kneel in wonder at heaven touching earth. Accept our heartfelt praise as we worship our Savior and our eternal God.
Luke 2, verses 4 to 7. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Lord, at thy birth. This story is an adaptation of Johann's Gift to Christmas, written by Jack Richards, a local BC author, in 1972. It is based on a true story. A long time ago, a very special mouse was born in Oberndorf, a small village high in the mountains of Austria. His name was Johann. As Johann grew bigger, he loved to play in the meadows with his brothers and sisters. He ran and leaped and scurried through the grass as merrily as any of them. But there was one thing that would stop Johann in his merry games, and that was music. He loved music, all kinds of music. When he became older, Johann decided that in order to be closer to the beautiful sounds of the church bells and the music of the church organ in the village, he would become a church mouse. And so he left his mother and father and his brothers and sisters, and he went to live in the village church building. After he had been the church mouse for 2 months, Johann discovered that it was very cold in the wintertime. There was never very much to eat, for the pastor was poor and there were not very many crumbs left from his table. But there was the music. Franz Gruber, the young schoolmaster, composed marvelous music and played on the church organ beautifully. Whenever Johann heard this music, he would feel his heart fill up with love. Now, as Christmas approached in the year 1818, the mountains were deep in snow. It was a very difficult winter for everyone, and Johann didn't even find bits of candy or sweet cookies that children sometimes dropped. One night, while behind the church organ, almost fainting with hunger, Johann thought, "If only I could nibble a little of the leather from the organ's bellows, then I could survive until Christmas." Johann knew that at Christmas all the people made a special effort to bake something nice for the pastor, and he knew that he would get his share. But Johann needed something now, or he would not live to hear the Christmas music or share the pastor's gifts from the villagers. And so he nibbled just a little bit of the leather. In his hunger, he returned the next night to nibble a little more of the bellows leather. And the next night, and the next. Until one night, the organ would not make a sound when Herr Gruber played it. The schoolmaster looked the organ over carefully. "Oh," he cried, "a mouse has gnawed the bellows. We must send at once for the organ mender." Herr Gruber rushed off to tell the pastor. But the kindly pastor just looked at him sadly. "Alas, Herr Gruber," he said, "with the hunger and poverty which has been our lot since the wars, there is no money left. All our parish funds have been spent to help the poor. We have nothing left for things like fixing organs." "This is terrible," said Herr Gruber. "The people always look forward to the music at Christmas. It helps them forget their poverty and the war. It makes them think of the one who fed the poor and who was called the Prince of Peace." Johann heard every word of the conversation, and his heart almost broke. He crouched in a corner with sadness, thinking of what he had done. "I have failed," thought Johann miserably, with tears trickling down his whiskers. "I am not a good church mouse." And then he heard the pastor say, "Wait, Herr Gruber, I have an idea. I've just recently written a poem about the way I feel on Christmas Eve. Perhaps you could compose some music to fit the words. We can teach it to the choir, and you can accompany it on your guitar. Perhaps with a new song, the people will not mind if the Christmas Eve service is different from other years. I will try, Pastor, said Herr Gruber. The time is very short, but I will gather some choir members in my home where it's warmer, and we will practice. The days passed quickly as the year moved towards Christmas, and then it was Christmas Eve. The people in Oberndorf crowded the church, but they did not look as happy as they usually did. They knew about the organ, and they did not expect to enjoy the Christmas music in the old way. The pastor spoke to the people. "My friends," he said, "you all know what has happened to our organ." In his dark corner, Johann shivered. But, the pastor went on with a smile, our dear friend Herr Gruber has composed some music for a new song. We will sing this song together and pray our humble offering will be acceptable to God. Herr Gruber struck a chord on his guitar and the choir began to sing. Slowly at first, then rapidly, a look of delight spread over the faces of the villagers. Even more slowly, the music pierced the blanket of misery in which Johann huddled. "Why," he thought, "it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful music I have ever heard." And the choir sang. Johann raised his eyes, and it seemed as if a special warm light, not just the reflection of the candles, glowed all around the church. And he seemed to hear a sweet voice say, "Little Johann, because of you, the whole world will have a special song of praise to sing at Christmas." And so it came to be. As the music rose and floated out across the glittering moonlit snow. From musician to musician, the song spread around the world. It rings out every Christmas in the hearts and voices of people everywhere. But every day of his life, the song rang out with a special joy in the heart of a little mouse named Johann in the village of Oberndorf, high in the Austrian mountains.
Luke 2, verses 8 to 17. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child.
Mark the herald. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing was originally written by Charles Wesley and sung to the familiar Easter tune, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Try it out, it works. 100 years after its first publication, it was adapted to the tune we all know and love, a song by Mendelssohn written to celebrate the anniversary of the printing press. Charles Wesley may or may not be a name you're familiar with. Over the course of his life, he wrote over 6,500 hymns, and he was a key player in what has been called the Evangelical Revival. This was a moment in Christian history that emphasized, among other things, conversion as a personal encounter with the grace of the living Christ. It is thought that Wesley wrote the song very shortly after his own conversion, and some hymn scholars have suggested the rich articulation of the gospel that is contained within its verses was inspired by Wesley's recent experience of a profound encounter with Christ. I've recently been thinking a lot about the place of the angels in the Christmas story. Without their presence providing interpretation and understanding at key turning points in the narrative, we would have a very different story. Mary would have been left to birth a child by herself, very confused and probably ostracized by her community. Joseph would have been out of the picture altogether, and we would have had no confirmation via the shepherd that this is in fact the long-awaited Savior. What has drawn me to these points in the story is not angels in and of themselves, however. Rather, it's the response of those they visit. The fear and terror experienced by Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds gives me comfort. It reminds me the Christmas story doesn't happen in an alternative fantastical universe. It happened right here on this earth, in a world with a census, a less than ideal government, and ordinary people working the night shift. During each visitation, the angels don't leave their visitees terrified, however. They leave them with instructions not to be afraid because they bring good news. As I've reread these verses in Luke a number of times, I've wondered how much these shepherds understood what was happening. I've wondered what went on in their hearts and minds as they moved from being terrified in the fields to driven by curiosity to Bethlehem, to finding Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus just as the angels said, to spreading the news of what they found far and wide, and to eventually joyfully returning to their fields, praising God for what they had witnessed and seen. I wonder if Charles Wesley perhaps experienced something similar to the shepherds in his own conversion encounter with Christ. If his hymn for Christmas Day is his joyful response to a first encounter with the glory of a God who saves. I don't know about you, but this season has brought me face to face with the reality of my need, of our need, for a God who saves. On our own, we do not have enough wisdom, love, or forgiveness to fix the complex problems around us and within us. The Christmas story is the good news of a Savior who breaks into earthly reality in a brilliant and upside-down, unexpected way. It's the good news of salvation, which comes in the form of a person, Emmanuel, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lay his glory by, born that man no more may die.
Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with a harp, and with a harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Thank you.
At Christmas, we sing lots about the birth of Jesus. Babies and mothers, nativity stuff, wise men and shepherds. But then we also sing Joy to the World. And that song doesn't mention any of that story. But it's definitely a top five Christmas hit. Which is curious. Recently, I was listening to a somewhat boring and academic theology book, and the author mentioned that the writer of Joy to the World, Isaac Watts, poetically translated a bunch of the Psalms. I thought that that wasn't boring and quite interesting. I popped on the Google and found out that Joy to the World was actually a translation of one of those Psalms, Psalm 98. Now, Psalm 98 isn't a psalm anticipating the Christ. It's not a messianic psalm. It is a psalm anticipating the coming of the Lord. If you look up Psalm 98, the Lord, depending on the translation you're using, is probably capitalized. That capitalization is an indication that it's the divine name, Yahweh. Psalm 98 isn't celebrating the coming of the Messiah, it's the coming of Yahweh. Psalm 98 is a pretty rad and somewhat unique psalm. Not only does it have this sometimes scary day of the Lord being a happy thing for all the nations, love and salvation for all the everyone everywhere, there are other psalms that celebrate that, Psalm 22 being one of my faves. But Psalm 98 combines that celebration of blessing for the nations with happy creation. Rivers are clapping their hands. That blessing of creation and the nations is what we are celebrating at Christmas. God showing up in the flesh isn't just about accomplishing salvation for all the everyone everywhere. It's also about the blessing and renewing of creation. The joy is for the entire cosmos. God is bringing that blessing through Jesus for all the everyone and everything everywhere. Sometimes we get overly familiar with some of our favorite bits of tradition, like psalms and certain songs. And that familiarity can lead us to missing some of their unique radness. Hopefully this brief reflection on Psalm 98 and Joy to the World will help us remember just how much we are proclaiming by singing Joy to the World at this specific time of year. And now, let us close with the collect for today. God our Father, whose word has become among us in the Holy Child of Bethlehem, may the light of faith illumine our hearts and shine in our words and deeds through him who is Christ the Lord. Amen.